Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the new Interesting Maple Site. It looks like we're going to have some time for some conversation today. But for those of you who have not plunged in yet, 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And our callers and our listeners can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. Please join us there. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Well,
what do you do when you have no callers? you improvise. Improvisational psychics. Well, it's not difficult because there's always a topic at hand. I think one of the most difficult things about being a psychic is when you're doing a reading and you see things, and then they don't quite come into focus, or something doesn't happen, it doesn't manifest.
Well, that would be after the reading, so that would be after the reading. So.
Oh, no, you're doing a reading, you can talk about what's happening and what has happened to get validations. But when you're dealing with the future is separated, there's different segments of doing a reading for future reference. One is that it's locked in. It's destiny, it's locked in, and the psychic has the ability to see it and says it's going to happen no matter what. That happens, I would say, maybe a quarter of the time. But in the attitude of that happening, you've got to see it as solid. It's not something that you have any question about. It's totally there. You see it. It's locked in. You get a strong vibration, and you say, this is going to happen no matter what. Well, I would say that's about a quarter of the future energy. Where it starts to slide from there is that something can be potentially destiny. Well, it's in the zone, it's in your world, and it's going to happen, but you have to work towards it. And sometimes in working towards it, you have to kind of get through whatever karma surrounds the destiny. There's sometimes a karmic element, or you create karma. Instantly, you're creating it by procrastinating or doing something wrong, but you create a problem, or a problem from another area is overflowing into the energy of what was producing the prediction. So there are several factors that where a psychic isn't really responsible for something not happening, and it's not in the element of making excuses. It's not in the element of making excuses. A good psychic is going to say, well, this is going to happen no matter what. Or this will happen upon these contingencies being accomplished. You've got to do this, this, and this. When people are compounded, 28-10-1, 37-10-1, 29-11-2, it's a lot more difficult because there's an overlap of karmic to begin
with. Right. So we were talking about that with the caller on another show, a couple shows ago, and I was trying to explain why the number is reduced, and it has to do with the fact that when one is compounded, there's karma from multiple lifetimes that is brought in. So it makes it more, everybody has karma from multiple lifetimes, but there's more intensity in the karma for someone who's compounded from those multiple lifetimes. So that's why the reduction is representative of that intense past life karma from diverse lifetimes.
Right. That is absolutely one of the cases. Others may be that if you're saying to a person, well, this is going to happen, but stay away from, you know, it might be contingent on who you connect with. So let's say you have somebody and you predict, oh, you're going to get a new car. And I can see the money coming in. And then in the meantime, you say, well, but, you know, you have problems in relationships. You got to watch out. And then in the near few days forthcoming, they meet somebody and that person is no good, horrible. And they chisel money out of them, they have all these problems. Well, that's not the psychic's fault. The psychic warned that there were contingencies. So you can say something's going to happen verbatim. You can say something's going to happen based upon the resolution of certain contingencies and that you don't do anything stupid, you will get it. Or you can say, you know, the energy is kind of 50-50. There is a mixture of energy in here that suggests that it's not quite locked in. Or you say, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. In fact, you could say, don't even try. You're going to get hurt. Something's kind of bad is going to happen. And those are the things that, I mean, those are some of the basic things about how psychics look into the future and feel these things. It's not their fault if you came in with lousy karma. I mean, you know, they have to work with that. They have to work with that. And the good psychics figure out ways to work around it or work through it or suggest it, to become almost therapists. But that's where some of this stuff stands in. So when people say, well, I didn't get what you said, I'll say, I never promised you a rose garden. I said that these things were possible within a certain time frame. Other times people say, hey, I got it, but I got it. That's fantastic. That's a miracle. But it was a year off.
Right.
Well, okay. Well,
sometimes there are delays. And when it's not locked in, oftentimes there are delays or different time factors that aren't exactly, you know, representative of what the psychic might have said. Sometimes the time factor is more difficult to project if it is not a locked-in destiny.
Look, no one is 100. Merlin had trouble with King Arthur. Believe me, they had their battles, and that was Merlin. Christ had trouble on the cross. He couldn't figure out what was taking so long. Everyone, there's no immediate 100% solution. We're dealing with the elusiveness of being a human being. This isn't a machine where you just replace a part. We're dealing with you, the human element, and guess what? There's layers. There's the physical. There's the emotional. There's the spiritual. These things are all interconnected and can disrupt the system of what otherwise was a prediction for the future. But it's not a cop-out, because what a good psychic does is they lay the foundation. They tell you verbatim where you stand, and then like any workman or doctor, they kind of work. But remember, they're working in the astral realm. They're not they're working in the physical realm. They have to get in there and work things and do things. But a doctor or a contractor isn't going to go, well, you know, okay, we're going to fix your broken arm, but we have to work with spirits and guides, and I'm not sure about your karma on this.
Yeah, but even if you're talking about a contractor and their projections about a job being completed, oftentimes a contractor is off. Takes longer than what's expected, or they're digging under a home and then they find, you know, something, a corroded pipe or something like that. So that adds, it's
perfect example. It's a perfect example. Now, if you have a lousy psychic, then that's a different story. But you can have a lousy doctor, a lousy contractor, a lousy therapist, a lousy anything, a lousy photographer for your wedding who shows you his portfolio and everything looks beautiful. Things happen. But you have to understand that when you're dealing with psychics, it's a very mysterious element that is above and beyond any other profession. You're dealing in the realm of prediction, and not everyone has been totally accurate. Not even Nostradamus has been totally accurate. There's time elements here that are different. Not even Christ was totally accurate. They kept saying, when does it happen? Well, it's going to happen. As soon as this happens and this happens, and he's talking about the mountains changing and this and the trumpets blaring. What are you talking about? I mean, he was somewhat of a psychic, if you want to regard him that way. But there isn't any psychic on the planet that's going to be accurate 100%. Forget about it. But a psychic, a good psychic, is damn good, and does a really high percentage of accuracy. I was tested by UCLA back in the 20s. And they deemed me with their machine or whatever the crap they were doing, comparing me with. I was 97% accurate. I volunteered, 97% accurate over machine. So, yeah, okay. So am I been 97% accurate in the world? No, but I've been damn good and damn accurate. But like anybody, there are discrepancies, inconsistencies, troubles. You just have to kind of work for it. And I tell you, sometimes it's very frustrating to work with some people because they keep messing up. They keep doing exactly what you tell them not to do. So that's not the responsibility of the accuracy of a prediction. Many, many different things to consider, not to mention the locked-in code and the birth date. Don't even get me started on that, because that has certain contingencies where things can get all screwed up.
519, do you want a reading or are you just listening? Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. Okay, she's just listening. Go on.
Well, so what were you saying?
I don't know, you were saying something.
I don't know. Where was I?
You were talking. I wanted to make sure that the caller didn't want a reading.
Well, okay, so
you were talking about your accuracy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
You go ahead. Ladies first.
No, I don't have any comments.
Ladies first. I don't want to be accused of abusing your femininity. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well. I don't know.
Well, you're talking about accuracy and, attitude of client and cooperation level. All those, of course, are going to be contingent on outcome, unless it's locked in.
Yeah.
So you can have a poor attitude if there's a locked-in destiny.
Yeah, what happens with the poor? What happens? I mean, sometimes negative attitudes don't affect anything. Sometimes some people think, I think the worst, so the best will happen. All right, but that.
Well, there isn't, but not actually. Sometimes that can work if you know how to work with energy in the right way.
Oh yeah,
Working with opposites.
If you're skilled at it,
it can be effective.
If you go on that principle, maybe it works for you because you've experienced it that way. But here's the thing about negative thinking: when you think negatively, if you're in tune with yourself. And your whole body is in command of all your faculties and everything's there. If the brain center says it's not going to happen. I just know it's not going to happen. That brain, if it's operating correctly, will tell the rest of the body and all the chakras, hey, it doesn't matter. The brain says it won't happen, so let's stop it from happening. the command center has given us an order. So you have to realize that when you think negatively, those thoughts become vibrations, electrical energy that goes throughout the whole body and produces the message that is occurring from the headquarters. So I've learned in doing this all these years that it's risky to be negative. It's very risky.
Unless you know what you're doing.
You're being a little bit of a trickster by saying, oh, it's not going to happen, when you really know it's going to happen and you're beautifully designing it from negative to positive. That's another great thing people can do, is they convert negative to positive. I like doing that. But that's another thing that you can do. Sometimes you can start off in that note. It won't happen. But you already know it will, and you know exactly
how to get there.
Yeah. You know, and then it's become, I think the first prediction we have in lore, in text, the first prediction we have
is death.
Was no,
is death.
No.
Oh, you mean a written prediction?
The first prediction that
written prediction.
That can be recorded.
Oh.
If you go to
I see what you're saying.
When God says, "Hey, listen, I'm making a prediction. You eat of the tree of knowledge, and you're going to die." I predicted.
Well, so
and you're
I mean,
die.
Essentially, yes.
And they did. Well, it
yeah.
was a prediction.
Well,
he,
right,
he,
but I mean, essentially, death was
the
prediction.
It was on a contingency. So. You'll live if you don't, and you die if you will. Now, from that, and then, you know, and there's mystical things going on in that storybook. There's a serpent. There's angels guarding trees. There's all this, you know, Christ, God walking through the garden, and his wind flying everywhere. And, you know, their eye was open, the third eye. I mean, what does it mean? You're going to eat from the tree of knowledge and your eye is open? What, were they blind? Were they walking around with canes, red and white canes? They weren't blind. What was this opening of the eye? Was it that they suddenly became like a primate to a human being, so they became, you know, they became like super conscious? Or was their third eye opened? I think it was the third eye. Thine eye. It didn't say, God doesn't say, thine eyes.
Well,
thine
I mean,
eyes.
Well, and of course, if the third eye was open, what it suggests is once they ate of the tree, I mean, to gain more knowledge. I mean, their third eye was open.
Yeah.
And then really what happened is the third eye, I mean, is not active in people generally when they're born. I mean, the third eye is active to certain degrees, obviously some people more than others, you have to develop it, but there's no, rarely a divinity in a person
in terms of sight. Here's this serpent who says, hey, listen, you're just walking around here in the garden, eating fruit and, you know, enjoying everything, you know, but guess what? God doesn't want you to know certain things. And if you eat of this tree of knowledge, you're going to be like God. You're going to know the truth. You're going to know everything hidden. And you're going to be able to understand and see things that you don't even know about yet. Go on, eat it. Eat it, and you will see what the world really is and the universe really is. Go ahead. Now, Eve, you know, she had to have some intelligence, because you can't say to a cow, come on, get with it. Learn what 5 + 8 is. You're gonna be the most famous.
Well,
cow.
I mean, not to say
brain.
That. Well, right. Her the capacity of her brain. Cows have intelligence.
Well, they have,
I'm not saying that they
don't have
but they don't have
the
reasoning and, you know, the ability to, you know, do math and
you
so
can,
on and so forth.
You know,
so there was an intelligence above an animal.
There was
intelligence
in
Adam
in.
And Eve.
It was already
Eve
locked
and
in.
Adam.
We only use 8% of our brain, anyways. Which is a cheap deal we got going.
Well, I don't know if that's really accurate. They say that there's different projections about that.
Okay.
We were not here to debate that.
15%.
Okay.
Big deal. We're not using the full capacity of our brain. It's all hidden. And then, so then she eats of this, And who knows? She, you know, I don't know what she's looking at, but she's looking at, I don't know what this serpent was up to, but maybe there was something sexual going on and she realized about sexuality and stuff. There might have been some kind of base energy thing going on, but then she realizes she sees things. She's like inspired with energy. So then she gives it to Adam and he gets turned on with knowledge and God starts freaking out and going, oh my God, if they eat of the tree of life, we're screwed. For some reason, he doesn't want them to go that far. Now, some religious leaders will say, well, that's because they were already damned. And if they eat of the tree of life, they're going to be damned forever. It's better that they die and have a salvation than to live forever in sin. So I've heard some interpretations. That's why he did it. But I don't know, you know. Eternity is something else. Then supposedly Christ comes in and says, okay, there's forgiveness thing going on, love. And
the chance
what?
Of being reborn into Christianity and, you know.
Yeah, but he talks about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so
anyway.
We need to take a caller. All right. 402.
Hi, I was just listening and I'm wondering, are you going to be doing any readings?
Yeah, well, that's why we took your call.
Yeah,
we didn't think there were going to be any comments on what we're talking about.
Yeah,
so go ahead.
No.
I know. I was listening to your point of view there. My name's Sharon, and I was kind of hoping with Valentine's Day coming, if you saw anything regarding that relationship that I used to have and whether that would come back or not.
Oh, so it's an ex you're considering?
Yeah.
All right, Sharon, what is your birth date, please?
My what?
Your birth date.
Oh, August.
Well, full birth date. You want a reading, so we need your full birth date.
Okay, 31st, 1957.
8/31/1957. Do you have the birth date of the person you're talking about? I got a 2, and she does have 11/2 in her month and date. 8/21.
No, I don't.
You don't have his birth date?
Right.
No, she's a 34/7.
Wait, 34/7? 8/11/21.
She's 34/7. 31st.
Yes, that's right. 31st. Okay, I got it. 8/3 is the 11. Okay, so no birth date of the person in question. So do you want to give us a little background, Sharon, on that relationship?
Just it was very long term, and then I moved, so.
How, what's the distance between the two of you? Is it like a couple hours, or are you like across
the
you
country.
Know, state? Okay.
Across the country,
so,
yeah.
And are you in contact with this person?
No.
Okay, so here's your situation where you might have some luck. Tell her about the 12th factor on both sides.
Yeah, you have in your 831, Sharon, you probably, well, have we spoken with you before?
Oh, gosh, a couple years ago.
Couple of years ago, so it's been a long time, yeah, and you probably aren't a regular listener, so I don't know if we worked with your birth date code last time in detail, if you just had a question, gave us the birth date, but you've got 12s on both sides of your, well, she actually, it's interesting, so your 831, 8+3+1 is a 12. Right? And
okay.
And your year is 1957. So the 5-7 is a 12. But here's something else that's kind of interesting. Your 1957 becomes a 13, which happens to be your inverted day. You're born on the 31st, but that is actually, when you flip it around, is a 1-3. So there's some balance in the birth date. Well, 1-3 is also a 4.
What this means is that there's a balance of a return. So if you're saying you're with this guy, and now you're wondering, we don't have his birth date, but if we're looking
wish
at
we
yours,
did.
If you're saying, Sharon, can this guy come back? According to your energy field, he can come back. Your problem is that I feel the guy is mixed up. I don't know if there was ever another woman. He sort of was with you, and then he strayed, and there was problems, but still kind of connection. So first of all, let's see, did that happen?
Yes.
Okay, so you see, Sharon, so the problem with this guy is this is happens with a lot of men, I must admit. They can't center themselves on one woman because they're not grounded and balanced. So they're all screwed up in their head, and they get panic. It's lousy. And women do it too. But the typical fashion.
The most of the people we've talked to on this show are women who are experiencing that problem.
And we're not, second guessing this according to a theory. This is a vibration that we're getting. You're validating it. So here's your problem with this guy. Do you have a connection with him? Probably, obviously. What we mean by that is this connection in your soul. And so you're bugged out of your mind because you're thinking, why did he leave? I really want this guy.
I'm the one that left.
But why did you leave?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Survival.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but you're saying, no, Sharon, you're saying, why did he leave? In other words, why did he cop out on me? I didn't leave because I'm a mean person. I left because he screwed up. Am I right?
She needed survival, meaning you needed to make a living, and there was more work areas that you moved to. However, the fact remains that there is a problem in the relationship, which is him being unable to commit completely to you because there is other women getting involved and not him not being fully focused. Now you're presenting a problem, which is a distance issue, in addition to his lack of commitment. And wondering if it's going to get, the relationship can return. I mean, logically, do you really want the relationship?
Listen, Sharon. Sharon, when you left for survival, was there trouble in the relationship?
Actually, when it started, no, not at all. In fact, it was better than ever.
When you left, there was never any trouble in the relationship? It was perfect?
Well, no, because we weren't together, but the intention was there.
Yeah, okay. Well, when you left, it wasn't perfect. You see, if it was perfect, you might have not had to leave for survival. You left for survival because your partner wasn't in sync. He wasn't totally balanced. So that caused, because you're connected to him, that caused you to be out of balance, and you had to leave for survival. If he was right on the money and in balanced in his relationship, you wouldn't have had to have a survival issue. It wouldn't have happened.
Right. Right.
See? So that's what I'm saying. He left the premises of being balanced and healthy, which offset your energy and cause you to go into survival mode.
Right.
So were you involved when you moved? I'm unclear. Were you, did you?
I had kind of, after you moved. I had pulled away because of survival. I mean, I didn't even say goodbye. He doesn't know where I'm at.
Listen, Sharon, you were mad at him. You didn't just, if you're with him and you have to leave for survival and you don't even say goodbye to him, you're angry at him. That's mean.
Yeah, it really was survival. And I wasn't living with him or anything. That's the problem. I mean, I had to do it on my own. So I had to leave.
Well, Sharon, when you left, What was the wrong things in the relationship? What problems did you have with him? Don't just say it was great. It couldn't have been. What were the wrong things going on?
Well, the full commitment hadn't been made, so I left.
Okay.
That's
all right,
the
thank
wrong
you.
Thing.
We finally got to it. He wasn't committed. If he had been committed, Sharon, if he had been committed, I predict you wouldn't have had to go into survival mode. But because he wasn't committed, you went into the survival mode, and it seemed like realism. It was realistically a problem now for you, and you had to do it.
Yeah.
But that's not
where
it started.
Coffee's cheap.
What?
Coffee's cheap?
Talk is cheap.
Talk is cheap. I was saying my coffee isn't cheap.
Mine is.
Yes.
No.
But talk is cheap, yeah. That's exactly. A lot of lip service. It's bullshit. It's a lot of lip service. Our lips, it doesn't cost anything to talk, but it costs a lot to be obligated and dedicated and, sincerely committed. That costs a lot on the psyche. And this guy's psyche's almost up.
So, I mean, back to her question, which is there going to be a rekindling of the romance? I think, Sharon, you really need to evaluate whether this is the right person for you. I would say, one, you're across the country from one another. Two, he's got commitment issues. I think you're going to have better luck in a relationship with someone who is stable and ready to make a commitment rather than going back to a relationship that was problematic for you. That's what I think.
Do you see anybody else?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, God. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you want to hold on to this guy, you're going to have problems. I mean, if you want to be reunited with this guy, Sharon, there's enough energy and karma for maybe something like that to happen, but I think it's going to get all messed up again.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be replaced. You don't have to. You can say, hey, we're back together again, but I think it's going to crumble again. I don't think he's committed. But if you say, well, is there a possibility for me to find somebody else? Yes, contingent on you let this guy go. You can't dwell on him and then look for somebody.
That's right. Because that is going to present a block.
Yeah.
In meeting other people.
Look, your master number is at the
end
of your
birth. That's what I was saying. So she's a 7.
And that's a 14-5,
which
is
your
second
number.
Your another.
The first number of your year.
Have more faith that, what do you think in this whole world, this is the only guy that is, you have to lean on him?
I think, people tend to gravitate towards familiarity. I think that's common. And because he's familiar, it feels comfortable, but it's not healthy.
It's not, because familiar is going to be survival, not committed. That's your familiarity with
it. What was your upbringing like? What was your childhood like? Did you have chaos in your upbringing, Sharon?
Yeah, I had some. My parents divorced and they got
divorced.
Back together.
Yeah, so I mean that's part of your own psychology, and so you going back to this relationship could be you replaying your, childhood. You don't want to repeat what you grew up with. I mean, if your parents broke up and it was an, unstable environment for you emotionally, you don't want to return to that as an adult.
Listen,
you don't want to keep that going.
Well,
you want to break out of that karma.
You're calling us and asking this question is you've got to examine your own insecurity about the future and your own uncertainty about whether you're worthy enough and capable enough to find a healthy relationship. And that's mixed up in your psyche. And we're saying that can be a real thing that you do for the rest of your life. But we're saying it's bullshit. You don't need to do that. You could.
Yeah,
actually,
loyalty is a big problem with me. It really is.
What do you mean?
I am too freaking loyal.
You're loyal and
yeah.
The other one isn't?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. No, I'm not saying you're not loyal. I'm saying that you're fine. There's an element in you where something's wrong with your psyche, where you're loyal, but you keep finding men that aren't.
Right.
Because I think it's a confidence thing. You've got to have confidence in yourself that you can find a man that's stable. Instead of being familiar with the kind of men you've been addressing, which probably relates back to your father and their divorce. You've been indoctrinated.
You gotta remember something. My parents got back together. They didn't stay divorced.
Okay.
Oh, Interesting.
Well, that might be, well, the tide of you going back together may be produced by that, but the story is different. Your parents had kids. Did you have a...
I'm sorry, you're kind of breaking up.
Well,
did you...
I have kids from my first marriage. And he died, so... Yeah, somebody, I'm having a lot of trouble. Somebody's muting it. I can't hear you. It's breaking up.
I'm going to switch. I think we have.
I only got, I think, and then it was gone again. Hello? Can you hear me?
Okay, we are back on the air, and unfortunately had to call in. We saw that Sharon called back and then disconnected again, because I can see what's happening on the switchboard here. Hopefully she will get back to us, but we have about 15 minutes left. She's not. She called back, but we weren't able to connect. For some reason, we're having a problem with our internet connection, and I'm not able to get on my... I'm not able to get online on my other device either. So
this is another situation where this is a perfect example where there's a certain attitude of energy between two people, but there's all these contingencies. It's not a simple answer. Sometimes just being assigned, well, I get back together with so-and-so. You know, some psychic people, yeah, you will, in May. Okay. But, and certainly those are answers I've given throughout my life to people. Will I get back? Yeah, in May. Or in June. You know, that is there. But when you've got when you come to a place where you've been doing so many readings and you get a little bit wiser about things, you realize that there are certain contingencies that get involved and mixed up in the picture. We did predict that she'll get back with him, but we didn't say it was healthy. You know, there's a problematic situation going on between these two people. They're codependent on one another.
Well, I mean, I don't know how codependent he is. If he gets back together, yeah, there's codependency, but there's no contact at the current.
Well, they haven't broken. You see, sometimes people hold on to people, and it's stupid. It's like a monkey that holds on to its dead baby, and then they finally drop it. You can hold on to a ghost, or you can hold on to somebody who doesn't mean anything to you, or you can be obsessed with somebody and they don't even care about you. Those things can occur. I don't think that's happening here. I think this guy's all screwed up and doesn't know how to.
She's back.
I mean, maybe he is in a relationship already.
So let's bring her back on.
Hi.
Hi, Sharon.
Sorry.
Thanks for calling back. Hi.
I called back because I missed all your great advice at the end there.
Well, we were waiting for you. It's just that we had a problem with the internet connection. So
okay.
I don't know what the last you heard was. You've been
not
on for
much.
About 30 seconds. Well, we just
that's
kind
a
of
compliment.
No. Anyway, we've been on for only probably a minute, about 30 seconds. I mean, so there hasn't been much you've missed. Did you have any other question for us while we have you here?
The only other thing is, you know, being able to make it here in this new place. What you see about that? It's very difficult.
Well, you're 62 years old. You're 62 years old, and you're still working.
No, I'm disabled. That's a big issue.
Ah, so that's the problem. Okay, so you moved for survival, and the reason why is the cost of living. It wasn't a job survival, but it's the cost of living is probably less than where you were previously.
No, it's probably triple as much. No, it's more
why
expensive.
Would you,
but
I don't understand.
My daughter's here, and where I was,
okay.
I had no family, so.
So you didn't really move for survival. You moved for your family because the survival issue now is more difficult for you. Well, you're saying survival is more challenging because of the financial aspect. So.
Right.
So that you didn't, I mean, I'm
yeah,
trying to understand
no.
what the survival.
Yeah, you. I know you are. I was able to get some aid here where I wasn't before.
You were able to get some aid, you said?
Yeah, here, where I'm at now. And
right.
I wasn't before.
Well,
when I say survival, I kind of lost everything, so.
Yeah, I mean, 8-3 has an 11.
11-2, which is what I was getting at the beginning.
Have drama going on. But, you know, well, what's the nature of your disability? Why are you disabled?
It's physical. It's physical, so it really sucks. A lot of pain. Can't walk very well.
Well, you see, now these are things that produce complications in relationship because you already have some challenges. And
right.
and the soulmate that you're looking for, or the situation in life that you're desiring to achieve, has certain karmic complications to it, and that's what I mean. If someone, you know, a psychic promising you a rose garden is not the basis here. There's problematic things going on. What we're telling you is that there's hope. We're not saying that generalizing it. In your birthday, there's an element built in, locked in of hope. You get to achieve what you're looking for. So that doesn't concern us. Well, what?
She said wow.
No,
I said
wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. I thought you were Jack Benny. Well, but Jack Benny used to, well, you're at age where you know Jack Benny, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. He used to go, well, anyways, but
no.
Yeah, that's a well. That's a well,
wow,
Sharon. You know, but, you know, then to really get to the basis of this, you got to a psychic has to get to the energy of your disability and why you're in the zone and how that intercepts in your connections in the relationship. Obviously, it didn't do a whole lot of damage. You've got a child. You had a divorce, but you have a child. You have a lovely daughter. So you go, okay, so you've got those things. So now we have to look at, well, is your life, did you fall off the cliff where there's no more relationships with the rest of your life? Have you run out of steam? No, you have not run out of steam. Now we got to figure out how do we factor that into the relationship problem in a relationship to your karma and why you have disability and why you got a divorce.
And why you have difficulty with the relationship with, you know, with this the person that is the father of your daughter.
So when you're
why you have difficulty having someone who commits, you know, all of these things.
Yeah.
Are
so here's the thing. If you're asking us, is there psychically a premise that I can accomplish some happiness in my life and not go on the way I absolutely. It's in your code. It's not some dream world. It's in your code. So that's already established. Now what we have to, it's like you have a book and you're saying, well, here's the book. I opened it up and there's no pages missing. I got it at a used bookstore. There's no pages missing. So I have a whole book. And then you say, well, I finished reading it. I go, you have a whole book. Will you finish reading it? Yeah, you got to read it. But the pages are there. Your life has pages in it all the way to the end where you have completion. You understand the metaphor? Of course you do. Now what we got to do is figure out how to get you to read every page. Well, sometimes you're reading a book and you want to skip or you're bored or you don't understand a certain paragraph. You're caught up in it. You don't like the way it's going. You see, you have things in your novel that we have to read through to get you to the end. But the end is happy. It's a happy ending. But we have to read it through. Yeah, it's a happy ending. Absolutely. What?
Nothing.
Oh, she's thinking about a massage.
I'm sorry, my mind is in the gutter. I apologize.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I guess so.
I know. It's terrible. Well, and then he repeats it.
Yeah, she said, I didn't get it until she winked. And then I knew what you were thinking. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you're going to have a happy. Maybe you should make a call to the, you know, male massage and you'll have a happy ending.
No.
But anyway.
No, we're not recommending you do that.
But it may be
an unhappy ending if you call a male masseur. Who knows what you'll catch.
Yeah, but we're talking about a Walt Disney happy ending.
Right.
You can have a happy ending. No question. That's not a question. It's a premise. But we got to figure out what it's going to take to get there. Now, you say a relationship is part of your process of thinking. Well, between 5 and 7 is a 2, and that's a relationship energy.
Also, is our first two numbers, 8 and 3, which is 11.
Yeah.
So there's
a relate.
She's got a 2 between her. You know, there's also a 2 between the 3-1.
Our recommendation is not to look for this guy anymore. Our recommendation is to find a new fresh start with somebody healthier.
Right, and fully release him because you're not going to get a fresh start with somebody healthier if you're still focused on this individual.
You may not like that.
It's going to be more difficult.
Sharon,
No, that makes sense. I just, you know, at my stage in my life, I don't have much to offer.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
What? See, you have a self-esteem problem.
Yeah.
Why? Because you have physical problems. You have loyalty. You have companionship. You have a lot to offer. Don't sit there saying, I don't have a lot to offer. I want a relationship.
I'm just asking,
and drive from one place to another, but I think I'll step on the brake the whole way. You know, don't think that way. Your head is all messed up. Don't think that way. You do have a lot to offer. Think about the things you do have to offer, and think about the men that want companionship.
I mean, the way you talk, I can't tell you have a disability. You know, you're intelligent. You're probably humorous. You're loyal. Some men are looking, some really nice men are looking for a companion. What are you saying? You don't have a lot to offer. Don't say that again. So let's say you do have a lot to offer. You might have some challenges. So what? So what? So we got to fix that. We can't do it in this show, but we started somewhere. We gave you more time than anybody.
It's not like we had any other callers. gave you more time than any of the other.
Yeah. We could sit here.
Invisible individuals that were
present
today.
We could sit here going, oh, we're not popular. We only got one caller. Oh, woe with us. You know, we didn't do that.
That must have been, I was supposed to get some advice because you always have a lot of callers.
We do. Well, yeah, we do have a lot of callers.
We have to pay everybody to call, so we're already broke.
Anyway, but Sharon, we hope that helped you today. We're glad that you were able to have a little bit more time than is usually available to callers.
Yeah, I like the idea that there's hope.
You've got to keep on that note. You've got to keep on that hopeful note because that is going to help speed up the process of bringing somebody in.
You can socially go to groups or something to look for a man that knows who you are. It's through the internet.
There might be people, other people with disabilities, a support group that you might be able to meet somebody in. I mean, there's all kinds of different avenues where you can that you can explore.
And that might go along with your financial search. For security, you have an 8 in your month, so there's some attitude that finances can come back to you. We're not at all in any disarray.
Right, and hopefully your daughter is who you move for, right? Hopefully, she is able to provide some stability for you in terms of that support that you need from family, and I don't know if there's any financial help that she can offer you or whatever. But I hope that the move was positive.
Well, that's kind of what I was at. That's what I was wondering. Did I make the right decision coming here? I've gotten to see my daughter and my grandkids a little bit, and I wouldn't have otherwise.
You made the right decision.
That's why I did it.
You made the right decision, Sharon. You just haven't found the end page yet of that decision. You haven't completed it yet. So you made the right decision, but there's more pages to read in this chapter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Thank
you.
All
right, Sharon. You're welcome. And we are at the end of our show, and we hope Sharon joins us on Facebook. She should. We are back on the air at 9 a.m. Pacific. 12 p.m. Eastern on Valentine's Day. We are broadcasting on Valentine's Day. We're celebrating on Sunday. That's why. So we will be on the air on Friday. Okay. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.